Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com, here with a name you know. But I'll tell you where you don't know him from any interview he did with me in Chicago, because he big-leagued me. He said, "You didn't come interview me in my hometown, so I'm not doing one with you in Chicago." But it's Tom Lawlor. He's on Bloodsport 7, October 22nd on Fight. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Sean. I don't know if that's exactly how it went down. Don't make me release the DMs. Because I don't think I said I wasn't going to do the interview. I think I just pointed out the fact that the week before you had been in my hometown of Las Vegas. Well, I guess, you know, if you're not in the WWE and you're there for SummerSlam, if you're not a big enough star, so why would you interview me? But finally, here we are.
Do you remember when I came up to you at Black Label Pro and I threatened you? I put my finger in your face and I was like, "Tom Lawlor, if you don't do an interview with me before Bloodsport, I'm going to slightly inconvenience you by making you kick my ass." And you're like, fine, we'll do it.
And here we are.
And Anthony Green looked at me like, that's a bad son of a bitch.
Actually, Josh Barnett threatened, well, he asked me, which I don't want to say I'm scared of the guy.
But I am.
So he asked me to do the interview. I was like, yes, sir, please.
There was one time I was scheduled for an interview with Josh Barnett, and I called the number that was provided for me, and a person who sounded just like Barnett answered the phone twice and said, "This is not who you're looking for." Sounded just like him. I called that number back a third time, and he answered. It was the strangest thing I've ever experienced, or he was just busting my balls. And I'm too intimidated by him to even ask, but...
Well, now we have it out in the air, so I'm sure somebody...
Exactly. So you got Bloodsport coming up. I mean, I love this format. I love this. I mean, so many people who came up training MMA or catch wrestling or anything, like, this is probably how they train. This is how a lot of people learned how to wrestle. And this is, I think, like, the purest form of the wrestling MMA hybrid. And you're here working Bloodsport. You're against Alex Coughlin. How do you feel transitioning? I know that you left your gloves in the ring after your last MMA fight, but you've transitioned to pro wrestling. You're one of the hottest indie wrestlers out there right now, if you can even call yourself an indie wrestler, because you're working everywhere, but you're under contract. How are you balancing all this? How have you liked the transition into full time?
I mean, to me, it's all the same. I mean, I have to look at it in a very similar way that I did to MMA. It's just that now I have a lot more chances to try to get myself over. The downside now that I'm back on the road is that, like you can see, I'm back on the road. So
yeah,
travel sucks. I've lost weight, you know, just from being who knows where all the time and surviving on coffee.
What's your walking weight right now?
Yesterday I got on the scale. So the last MLW show, I'll tell you what happens. Alex Kane, the suplex assassin, questioned me when I said I weighed like 205.
Ooh.
Right? He said, no way. He said, you're at least 215, 220. I said, buddy, there's no way in hell. So I got on the scale when I got home. I think I was like 206 or something. Wow. So this past week, I didn't sleep very well on one of the nights. My sleep schedule's all screwed up from traveling. And, you know, that affected my eating habits. And, like, I woke up and I checked my weight. I was 197. After oh, wow. It was after morning. But after lifting weights, it wasn't like a cardio workout.
Do you think the exaggeration of weights in wrestling for so long, like, has caused people to be surprised? Because, like, I asked EC3 one time, and he's like, man, I've never been above 225. And he's like, and my Wikipedia lists me as 250. And he's a big jack dude. But, I mean, as we've seen, the most athletic MMA fighters are usually not 300 pounds. They're never 300 pounds. What am I talking about? They're never that big.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all I'll say about it is go watch, like, matches of mine from current day, current time era, knowing what I weigh now, and look at the build weights of some of these other guys when they go out there and wrestle. You know what I mean? It's like there's no way that they're within spinning distance of what I weigh. I dwarf them, but on paper it'll be like 2 pounds difference. So,
and then when you move over to pro wrestling, like Riddle used to fight at 170. Now he walks around at like 210, 215.
Yeah, no, he's probably a legit 220, I would bet. 220, 225. But he's taller than I am. He's like 6'2". Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a greater chance to get bigger. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, I just get wider and fatter, so I don't look as good. You know, he's got a leaner frame, a V-shaped torso. You know, I've been told that my features are too deep set to be considered classically handsome, and he seems to be quite a heartthrob. So, you know, I hate to compare myself to.
So Bloodsport 7, you get the call to do your these Bloodsport shows. How are you feeling? Because obviously, coming from your background, this had to be something that was in your mind already before the first time you ever did one.
Yeah, I love these Bloodsport shows. They are – it's one of the things that, like, if you are a wrestler and you hang around on the in the locker rooms, these are the shows that all the wrestlers want to be on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's for the wrestlers, it's a matter of prestige to a certain extent. You know, Josh Barnett is, as we talked about earlier, he's no nonsense. He's a tough guy and he likes tough wrestling. And to be chosen to be on it is kind of a badge of honor. And, you know, even with, you know, the mixed martial arts accolades I have, even with, you know, being in the UFC for an eternity, you know, being on these shows is still like, it means something to me. You know what I mean? I'm sure if I went out there and stunk up the joint on these shows, I wouldn't be back on them. You know what I mean? But I've been lucky enough now. I think I might've had to, there was one or two I may have had to miss due to other stuff. But I've been on a good portion of them, and I'm very proud to have been on them, actually. Is it?
Yeah, it's your sixth one. Cobb, Grimm, Homicide, Walter, and Davey Boy, I think, unless I'm missing one. And then this will be your sixth, I think. I mean, that's – and you were on the very first one. You were on – went back when it was Riddles.
I think I was going to miss the maybe the WrestleMania one that didn't happen, and then I was lucky enough to get on the – the next one is maybe what it was. But like I said, I mean, like, it's a badge of honor, you know. It's awesome to be chosen by Josh. And especially not even if you're, like, just a pro wrestler, you know, without MMA fights, like Chris Dickinson. I'm sure it's an honor for him. But even coming from an MMA background, it's an honor for me as well.
And I just mentioned, like, the wide array of people that you've worked. Like, Simon Grimm. One of my favorite WWE Live memories is watching him and Chad Gable chain wrestle in the ring. And I was like, man, this is rad.
He's phenomenal. He's one of these guys that if you are a fan of wrestling, like, you want him more places. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to see him pop up in more spots.
And then you face people like Homicide, who people might not look at and say, blood sport. Maybe, yeah, blood, less sport. But, like, how do you walk in and out of the transitions of that? Because, I mean, that one was one of your longer blood sport matches, and it was against a guy that a lot of people don't assume traditionally works that style.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been accused also in the past of not working the traditional style, you know, and having more spots in some of the matches. So it's tough, honestly, to try and blend it all together and, you know, have somebody believe that there's a fight going on. It's weird, like the crowd, you don't get the suspension of disbelief. You know, they're not as willing to accept. You can't go out there and just do a bunch of high spots. Like this crowd's not going to want that. I think if somebody did that, they would get booed out of the building. And I, like, honestly, every match that I have now, I kind of view it as like a challenge, like how using like mostly mixed martial arts techniques to a certain extent, you know, legitimate techniques, how can I get like the best match with this person that I can? And when I look at it like that, I mean, it doesn't like make the mental transition hard. It makes it a challenge. And I think that makes me better, you know? Even in like fighting, I always like these weird things. You know what I mean? Like I fought Jean Valente, who was like, I was a middleweight and he's like 250 pounds. So to me, that's like a freak fight. So it's like stuff like that really excites me. You know what I mean?
One of the things I love most about seeing somebody with MMA experience is how they'll take like simple holds that you see in wrestling every day, like a rear chin lock. And if an MMA fighter's doing it, you'll see them adjust it to where it's more like a jaw lock or a rear naked choke. You'll see them like throw a hook in as opposed, or just put a foot in front of the hip. That way the opponent can't sit out. Things that maybe you don't see from people who don't train that, where you're looking at them and you're like, well, why wouldn't they sit out? Why wouldn't they turn into it? Why wouldn't they try to rock backwards or anything like that? I know that you were doing pro wrestling well before most people knew about you in MMA, but like, what parts of MMA have you taken and applied to pro wrestling that are common sense to you, but maybe aren't widespread in wrestling?
Yeah, if you watch a lot of my matches after, it's simple stuff. Like, if I hit a move and the opponent kicks out, a lot of times I'll immediately go to a hold. You know what I mean? I'll transition into a hold. I very rarely make covers without cradling or grabbing an arm like I'm going to move to the next thing, because that's what I would do in a realistic situation. One of the things that I realized pretty early on when I started, you know, back on the scene wrestling was that, you know, there's all these guys who can do high flying. There's all these guys who can do, you know, creative, you know, spots on the mat, you know, big head drops and stuff like that. But I can't do that stuff. Like, I can't go out there and do a backflip. I wish I could, you know, but I can't. So I had to do stuff that's different. And one of the things that's different is if you watch guys make covers, they'll like
no weight on the shoulders.
You want somebody to believe that you're trying to win this contest. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to actually act like you're trying to win. You've got to put your weight on them. You've got to cradle them. You've got to try to pin them. You know how hard it is to pin somebody for 3 seconds? It's very hard. You'd be flopping around like a fish, even if they're, you know, on Dream Street. So, like, that's one of the things that I think I do that's, I mean, it's better than what most people do because it's more realistic. So, you know, I think that's what, if I could pinpoint one thing, like, that would be probably it.
That is one of, like, you mentioned the cradle and, like, weight on somebody's shoulders. That's one of the things that drives me nuts, like, watching WWE and, not saying I can wrestle better than any of these people, but I'll, like, they'll do the roll up all the time. and the weight's all on somebody's ass. And I'm like, why isn't their shoulder up? Why aren't they getting a shoulder up here? Like, that's the point of that, is to stack them. And I see so many MMA fighters and wrestlers that are like, that's just second nature. Like, you put the weight on the shoulders, you prevent them from kicking out. Like,
yeah,
it's common for that. Well, that's not the only thing you've been working lately. Right now you're at the New Japan tapings as we film this, and you've been like working there heavy the last year. And to me, New Japan Strong, what I see there is like, that's what I always hoped that like NXT would become, like this great like thing where you see a bevy of styles, a wealth of different experiences. You'll see big stars pop in and out of there. And it's become like one of the best shows, best wrestling shows every week. How has that experience been for you?
It's funny that you mentioned NXT in the same breath, because I don't know if it was somebody in New Japan who made this comparison, but essentially, I mean, what New Japan Strong is, if you look at it, is it's like the New Japan version of NXT, but it just so happens to be here in the States. Now, luckily, right now we have, you know, with unluckily because of the global situation, luckily there's guys like Jay White, David Finley, Will Ospreay, who, you know, don't have the opportunity to go to Japan right now and are here, you know, or, you know, like, so
it was shocking to me when Kenta was there. And then I was like, wait, why wouldn't he be there? He lived in America for several years and it worked out great for him.
Yeah, and like, I mean, as terrible as the situation has been for New Japan on the Japanese front, as far as being able to get fans in the building and stuff like that, it's helped, I think, in a way over here, because we've been able to get the stars. Tanahashi's been here. Suzuki is here currently, you know, doing his U.S. tour. Ishii, so... Ishimori. I mean, there's just guys that are here that I don't think would be here otherwise. So in one way, it's been awesome. And for me, obviously career wise, it's been great. If you look at New Japan Strong, I like to look at it as like the Team Filthy showcase. It's not like that every week, but there really are some like interesting. I think the show is awesome. Obviously, I love the show. And I'm like, as proud as I am to be on Bloodsport, I'm just as proud to be part of New Strong. You know, I love this stuff. And every week you get good matches. You can watch the rise of the guys in the dojo right now. You can see them growing up, like Carl Fredericks, Clark Connors, Ren Narita, and soon to be, I'm sure, Alex Coghlan, who I'm going to face next week at Bloodsport. You can watch those guys rise up through the ranks, and you can also see, you know, the stars from Japan. You can also see guys like veterans like myself, Kratos.
Fred Rosser has really, like, nobody expected him to show out the way that he has, and he's had an incredible run there.
Yeah, I don't know what the age of these guys is, but I'm pretty sure, like, myself, Fred, Kratos, Rocky, I'm pretty sure we're all kind of in the same age bracket.
Oh, yeah, Rocky's old as hell.
He's like a year or something older than me. Maybe
old,
we're the
old
same.
Old as hell. Old as hell.
I think we're the same age. But, like, there's really – it's tough to call myself a veteran, but age-wise, I am. But there's, you know, a good crop of everything. Get everything.
Mysterioso. speaking of your career.
Leo Rush.
Oh, I've loved Leo's work there. I think Leo's work there is what truly led him to being able to land a deal with AEW, because they saw what kind of work he could do consistently, and he's killing it.
Yeah, when you see him backstage, it's like he loves being there. I mean, I don't know. It looks like it.
Workers work, brother. Yeah. I mean, so speaking of your career, about 2 years ago in November, it was announced you had signed a multi-year deal with MLW. It's been multiple years since then. What's up, Tom?
Did you trick me into this interview? Is that what's going on?
Maybe.
Here?
I mean, I'm trying to be the contract guy these days. Are you going to be Are you going to be eligible to discuss contract stuff soon?
That may be the case.
I think it is. I think that is the case. So as far as New Japan goes, is that like per appearance?
I don't really think I'm at liberty to discuss this, Sean.
I'm just saying. I mean, you might be one of the hottest free agents on the market soon, and you're just sitting here like all coy about it. Like, man.
I'm a prize fighter.
You are a prize fighter. That's a good way to put it.
So you started the interview kind of asking about me laying my gloves down, but I've never officially retired.
I know. You Cody Rhodes'd it. Little do you all know, this is Tom's way of securing his own reality show on TNT.
Listen, I've got to get through Bloodsport and Alex Cobb.
You do.
Right? So I can't be counting my chickens before they hatch.
That's true. I'll find out somewhere else. That's what I'll do. But right now, I want to play a bit of a game. Filthy or not filthy with Tom Lawler. I'm going to list you some maybe filthy people in wrestling, and you're going to tell me if they're filthy or not. First off, the Nasty Boys, Brian Knobbs, Jerry Sags. They're not filthy, but they're nasty. What do you think?
Yeah, they're filthy.
I mean, they picked a fight with Ken Shamrock.
I know. And you know what? Ken Shamrock, years later, powerbombed me on the floor of a bar in Atlanta against my will. So I don't know if I should thank them for going after him or if I should blame them for it. But I like, you know what I really like? I like their outfits. Oh, and I love
buddy,
stop.
Buddy.
So, filthy.
Are these filthy or not filthy? Look at these bad boys. Look at these. I liked it so much.
I've got some similar style Vans on.
Yeah. Oh, buddy, you're gonna piss off Top Dollar.
Oh yeah. That's fine. Dude, I drive a minivan, Top Dollar. Come find me in the kids' parking lot.
Top Dollar's coming after you. Dirty Dutch Mantel. He's dirty. Is he filthy?
You know, last time I saw him, Uncle Zeb. Not too filthy.
Really? Was he cleaned up? He's still got the beard.
He had the beard, but he had like a he was well dressed, you know?
Okay. We've also got Dirty Dick Slater, maybe more of a legend in.
Didn't he do some really kind of a dirty dirtball kind of guy?
Probably. I'm not the historian here. So well, let's go with Dirty White Boy Tony Anthony, who's also known as T.L. Hopper.
Yes, yes. Coincidentally, what are my initials?
There you go. But here's my issue with it. Is he really filthy if he's looking to clean people's, like, septic systems and all that stuff? Like, doesn't that sort of go against the filthy nature?
If I remember correctly, he looked like he was simply cleaning them for the pleasure of being covered.
That's true.
So maybe that was the motive behind it. It wasn't necessarily for monetary gain.
Yes.
Or even to help out the other people. He just wanted, you know, he's like a killer, you know. The people are going to die eventually anyways.
Of course. Then we've got Sick Nick Mondo. Sick, is he filthy? He filmed me getting my hair cut once. That's pretty cool. But he's a videographer now. He does all kinds of stuff. He was a deathmatch guy.
Yeah, what kind of videographer is he?
I don't know. Is that AEW? I mean.
Oh. Well, he's probably too filthy anymore then.
No, he's very like straight-laced and
yeah.
You would never expect it.
Nah, not filthy.
So the only other non-blood sport thing I want to ask you, I was looking through your cage match profile. I do it for shits and gigs just before every interview, and I see June 24, 2006, J.P. Ace and Tom Lawler against Kip James and Ron Killings in Cocoa Beach, Florida. I am made of questions right now.
Lay them on me.
Oh, my gosh.
We need to get to Bloodsport, but I got some time.
Oh yeah. So as I see, you had matches like as far as a year ahead of this, which I'm assuming you had plenty more before that. But
so I had matches that I don't know why they don't show up on there. You know, there's probably like 20 other matches. Yeah. I think by the time I had already had a WWE tryout as well, okay, at like by the time I had that tag match. Yeah. I think that was my last matches before I was fighting full time.
Think you'll have any more this year?
Huh?
Think you'll have any more WWE tryouts this year? Or do you think you'll sign directly?
I think I'm well over the age limit.
Oh, no.
Right? I'm 38 years old, bud. so I was in a tag team with JP Ace called the Down Boys.
Ooh. With a Z? Yeah.
No.
Oh, come on. No.
But we used to come out to Warrants where the Down Boys go.
Okay.
Right? That was, yeah, big baby face team on the indies back then. Actually, like, my matches against Buck Quartermain and Lex Lovett.
I remember Buck Quartermain.
Are they good on there? Because there was a hot series of matches going on around the Tampa area back then between the Down Boys and Lex Lovett and Buck Quartermain.
They were on TNA a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. Buck Quartermain was working construction one time. I was working at a bar. I saw him. So cool. But yeah, what else do you want to know?
So,
I ended up I believe they were the James Gang or something at that time. At the Cocoa Beach, like, pavilion. And I remember this succinctly, not only because we essentially got squashed in the match, and they wanted nothing to do with wrestling us. But some asshole in the crowd threw like a D-cell battery at us.
Oh, no.
Like, those things are heavy.
Yes. It's like big ones.
Dude, we're like a jobber tag team. It's not like we're in some blood feud with these guys who did anything to the crowd. You huck some fucking D-cell batteries at poor kids. Fuck. I never had that happen at the UFC or Bloodsport.
Oh, so how were Kip James and Ron Killings to work with? Because, I mean, at that point, they're under contract to TNA, but they're still making their dates, their indie dates.
They took care of us.
Oh, really?
I don't think we got much offense, but, yeah, I mean, they certainly didn't, like, take advantage of us under any means.
They're swatting 9-volt batteries out of the air as they with it.
That battery, I know that.
I just love it. It's like that's the third match on your cage match profile is like, oh, you know, just a former NWA champion and a guy who was in DX. No big deal.
I know. I always used to love, like, because there was a period of years where I didn't watch wrestling at all, and I'd like, you know, I started watching it again, and R-Truth was like in the main event scene, him and The Miz.
Yeah.
Tag team, and like I would tell my ex-girlfriend at the time, like, look, I wrestled that guy, like, I lost that guy. I was so proud of it.
So at any point during your UFC run did you say, oh, maybe let me go wrestle a match or something like that? And if so, how did they respond?
Yes, that happened. Not well. In a managing gig for Red Dragon in Ring of Honor that Court Bauer set up, my man Court set it up way back when. So that was like 20.
I remember hearing a scuttlebutt about this.
2013 or 2014 or something like that. They had a match against the Young Bucks, 2 out of 3 falls. I managed them to victory. It was an awesome match. And then I was set to, they were going to have me manage Red Dragon like semi full time. I believe it was going to be like at pay-per-views and big shows. And the UFC yelled at me for it. I was told not to do it. So,
I mean, yeah. I know, there, quite frankly, with things in your MMA career, there's been a lot of moving the goalposts as for things that have happened to you and then how they happen to other people, which is kind of weird because now Masvidal's out there cracking Jericho in the face with a knee.
Yeah.
And Dana White's like, huh? What? That's happening? Oh, okay. Bet he had fun. Like, I mean, that's does it surprise you, or is it just one of those things that's like, well, I had to crawl so they could run.
You know, at the end of the day, I mean, I just got to be honest with myself. Not a big enough draw. I didn't make enough money. If I did, things would have been different. They would have stuck behind me. They would have sucked my dick like they do some of the other guys. And that's not what happened.
They, in fact, did not suck your dick.
Certainly not.
That isn't what happened. But you got Bloodsport 7, October 22nd on Fight. You got Alex Coughlin. You faced him before. You faced him, I think, maybe last year in New Japan, or maybe it was earlier this year.
New Japan, it was even before Strong. It was New Japan Lions Break Collision.
There you go. So how are you looking for this to adjust, maybe be different than that?
Well, like the whole time while when names are getting announced for Bloodsport, and I would see matches announced by Josh on Twitter. It's not like I don't know that anybody knows the matchups before he announces them. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's clued us in. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, who's it going to be? So you see a match announced. Oh, it's not going to be one of those guys. And you start wondering who it's going to be. And, you know, I'm looking at the list of guys. And this is a guy that over the past year, probably it's been a little bit more than that, maybe a year and a half since we faced off. This guy's grown tremendously. And I know that he's done work with Josh. I have been able to witness firsthand the training that they do under Shibata. And I'm sure that, you know, he's going to be more than versed. I know he's more than well prepared in, you know, legitimate fighting style and fighting arts. This guy is like strong as a horse. Pound for pound, he's probably the strongest guy, I think, on the entire New Japan roster, New Japan Strong, the main roster included. He's out there Karelin lifting two guys at once. He's just got phenomenal, phenomenal strength, which is very, very tough to deal with.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
But I have experience on my side. One of the things that's good and bad about Coughlin being in the position that he's in is that, you know, in the Young Lion system, you're restricted in a way as to the offense that you can have. And I'm not. So I'm going to have a greater variety of techniques to throw at him. His basics and his fundamentals are going to be off the charts, through the roof. But it's not going to be enough to carry him in this contest. I know, because he tweeted about this when the match was announced. I was the last guy he wrestled before he injured his neck a year ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just going to go right back after it. You know, why would I do anything different?
Also on that card, you got Marina Shafir against Masha. Two women, one looking to prove something, another one just got signed. You got Davey Richards on the card, J.R. Kratos and Calvin Tankman. I'm ready for that sirloin beef sons of bitches fight there.
What two monsters. That's better than Godzilla and Kong.
I'm ready for it. I mean, yeah. I'm so ready for it. And then Eric Hammer against Bad Dude Tito. Not even to mention that Josh Barnett facing somebody who's also looking to prove something in Tiger Huas. It's such a really good card. Oh. Go ahead, sorry.
Isn't Minoru Suzuki on the show?
Yeah, I think some guy named Minoru Suzuki's on the show.
Yeah. is Dickinson on the show?
Yeah, he's on the show too.
There's some other people who haven't had their matches announced. So not only you know, the matches mentioned, but there's more matches to come.
So excited for this. I love this. And for a guy like Karrion Kross, who stepped in there and a lot of people didn't know what he was actually capable of within that world, a lot of people get their eyes opened and they're like, oh my God, he just killed it with Davey Boy Smith Jr.
And Davey Boy Smith Jr., right? Back in the WWE. And it's like, I mean, he did good stuff in MLW, but he's done awesome, phenomenal stuff in Bloodsport. You know, it seemed like that really brought the best out of him.
Bloodsport 7, October 22nd on Fight. You guys need to check it out. Who would you like to, like, if you could bring anybody, whether it be MMA, amateur wrestling, pro wrestling, anything like that, in one, just to beat their ass, two, another one, another one that you'd like, I'd like to test myself against them.
I mean, beat their ass would be Brian Alvarez.
Okay. Okay.
Right. That's an easy one. Right.
I mean, listen, if you want to create less competition for me, I'm not going to stop you there. I like Brian just fine, but
I tried to have you guys fight it out at Black Label Pro and it didn't go down.
It didn't. I don't think a lot of people realize that Brian is like a legit black belt. Like,
yeah, he's very good. I've rolled with him.
It is very funny to me when I'll see like trolls on Twitter and I'm like, no, he would choke you unconscious in like less than a minute if he wanted to.
There's no one that I really like that I want to test myself against. You know
what
I mean?
That's the headline. I'm sorry.
I'll be honest. I'm in it for the easy payday. Oh, like throw Beetlejuice or somebody at me, you know, like that's who I want. But I would love, there's a bunch of people I would love to bring in or see fight in Bloodsport, or, you know, there's matchups I would love to make.
Man, see, I got to go for the salacious headline. What do you want the headline of the first article to be? we had one today that said Go ahead. Sorry.
Fight in Bloodsport, Sean Ross Sapp versus Pat LaPrade.
Oh, good God. I thought that went under the radar. Jesus Christ. My God.
Keep up on the dirt, man.
Worked myself into the shoot there.
You know who I would love to see is, on a serious note, is Shuri from Stardom.
Shuri Kondo, yeah.
Like, I mean, UFC veteran. I would like to consider myself the U.S. version of Shuri, but I'm not even close. So, another UFC veteran who's doing awesome in the pro wrestling ring, like one of the best in the world. So.
I can't wait until things open up more because, I mean, when I saw things maybe not going her way in the UFC, I was like, man, she's gonna come back over to wrestling and she's just gonna kill it. And then I feel like she took a booking, maybe before her UFC deal was up. And I was like, oh, she's got her mind on it. She's got her mind on it. And she has been killing it.
Yeah. She's been phenomenal. I've been watching Stardom over the past few months. And, you know, I think it might be my favorite wrestling to watch, you know, out there. I just think it's a phenomenal product.
Guys, again, Friday, October 22nd in LA. You can go to bloodsport7.eventbrite.com. Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 7. Tom Lawler, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me, even though it's not in your hometown of Las Vegas.
Yeah, no problem, Sean. I had a great time.
You think I wanted to interview Jinder Mahal instead of you?
I would like Jinder Mahal.
He seems good. I asked him about Arjan Buhler. Remember when he was supposed to do a walkout with Jinder while he was, or Jinder was supposed to do a walkout with him.
That's right. That point. And they nixed it.
No. The hurricane happened and Jinder had to get to his house.
Well, maybe he can do it in one, or maybe that's the tie in with AEW. Maybe Jinder's going to make the jump so he can walk out Arjan Buhler on one.
Buhler says he's been in talks with WWE and AEW.
He has. He's got to be, a pretty big star over in India, I would imagine.
More sirloin beef, sons of bitches. I'm here for it. I'm also here for Bloodsport 7. Tom Lawler, thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm going to be there at Bloodsport 7 for Alex Coghlan. And I'm going to rip his head off again.
Why? So threat, that's murder. This is admissible in court, Tom Lawlor.
I'll tape it back on. All right. Like it's Dumb and Dumber, and he's Petey the Bird.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.